leading us into the presence of the Lord. You may be seated, and invite you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5 if you haven't already. And there is in the bulletin as well an outline that will follow along with the sermon and the PowerPoint presentation if you find that helpful. We are continuing in our service today our series on the Ten Commandments. And this morning, we're going to be talking about Sabbath, the antidote to burnout. We read just a few minutes ago from Deuteronomy chapter 5, the Lord's command to us to celebrate, to practice the Sabbath. And so, we want to talk about that for a few minutes that we have this morning. As we started the series, we looked at the whole passage, and we saw that the main point really of this whole passage, of all the commands, is this. The main point is that the Lord loves us, and He's given us His commands, His terms of the covenant, for us to follow so that we can show we love Him and that we can enjoy His blessings. That's really the main point of the commands to us, to show that we love Him and then to live a life that He can bless. Now, as this is the Old Covenant, we have to look at it through the lens of the New Covenant. So we see, and we've seen these past weeks that we've looked at in Hebrews, that we come to the Father through His Son Jesus Christ, who gives us a Spirit, who now writes these laws, these commands upon our heart. In other words, He moves upon us internally so that we want to follow, we want to obey Him, we want to live in a way that He can bless us and please us. So this morning, let's look for a few minutes at what does it mean to practice Sabbath. Would you pray with me? Father, we come now to Your Word, and we ask that You will open our hearts and our ears and our minds to the truth and the authority of Your Word. Lord, we pause and we bow in our hearts before the authority of Your Word. We know that it is truth. We know that regardless of what any person on this earth says, Your Son, Jesus Christ, has said, "My word is truth." And we stand on that this morning. We ask by Your Spirit, You'll speak to us now. Help us to understand what You desire for us in Sabbath. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever get tired just thinking about what all you have to do? Do you ever find yourself just as tired Monday morning as you were Friday afternoon when you got off work? Most of us, we often bring work home over the weekend, or we have to work on the weekend. We can't try to catch up for all the stuff we haven't gotten done. And of course, then you have to add in all the stuff around the house, all the work. Do you ever feel guilty when you relax? When you take a few minutes and you do nothing? All of a sudden it pops into your mind, "Oh, I really ought to be doing this," and you start feeling guilty, and up you go. Off we go. Today I want to look at what God says in His Word about Sabbath. And as we've been looking in this series on the Ten Commands, we understand that this really is 10 principles that will build us as strong believers, it will build strong marriages, it will build strong families. Now as we look at Sabbath, would you agree that workaholism, or working way too much, affects and hurts marriages, families? It certainly can hurt your own life if you're a single person. It does. And this fourth command that the Lord is saying to us speaks to this morning. It speaks to the whole thought and idea of taking a day of rest. Let's talk about it for a few minutes. The main point of this passage, of this particular passage, verses 12 through 14, is this, that Yahweh, God's covenant name that He's given to His people, Yahweh, has given us the Sabbath so that we can rest from work, be refreshed spiritually, and not burn out. Sabbath is the antidote to burnout. Now, it's interesting that God has more to say. Did you notice with me? He has more to say about this command, the Sabbath, than He does about all the other commands. Did you notice that? The longest that He speaks of regard to His commands is here, the Sabbath. It's as if he's saying, I want you to take this serious. This isn't just something I'm suggesting. No, I'm commanding you to take a day off. Why? Well, let's look at it. Verses 13 and 14, he says, 6 days shall ye labor, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall do no work. Now, that's pretty clear, isn't it? I mean, it's simple. God's a pretty simple God. He lets it out there for us, puts it out there, and we just really complicate things sometimes, don't we? Well, I guess that doesn't really mean work. I could sort of work, but it's not really work. And we start our justifying and our rationalizing, and no one is to work. That's what he says here. Don't work. But what is he talking about? And what does the word Sabbath mean? What does Sabbath mean? Well, the word Sabbath, I like to define our terms, define what we're talking about. The word Sabbath, the base root of the word Sabbath means to cease or to rest. And then, of course, in the Jewish concept here in the covenant, it became the meaning of a day of rest. A day of ceasing from work or a day of rest. So, God says every 7 days you are to take a day of rest. Why? Well, we understand from Jesus' words, Mark chapter 2, 27, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Jewish teachers of the law, the rabbis, the Pharisees, the Sadducees of that day, they had turned it around to make the Sabbath something that God never intended. On the Sabbath, it was turned out to be this, holy of holy days where you couldn't do anything. And if you did, you broke a command, you broke the whole idea of not working, and you're condemned. That's not what Jesus is talking about. That's not what he says it's the purpose for. He says, no, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What does he mean? God has given this to us. He's given it to us for our benefit. The purpose is to prevent burnout. Every 7 days, you need to get physically, emotionally, spiritually recharged because your batteries run down. The other day I was working on my car. Another one of the lovely things I hate doing. And had to replace the brakes on the back. And I knew I should have brought it over to Lou's house, have him do it right. But I have this impact drill driver that actually Lou gave me as a gift. And I'm out there working on this thing. It's getting dark. The mosquitoes are biting me. I'm slipping and smacking my fingers against everything. These springs will not come off, and when I get them off, I can't get them back on. Oh, it was fun. And as I'm trying to work, the battery on the drill starts going, and of course, I didn't have the charger plugged in, so the other battery wasn't charged either. The battery wore out, couldn't do the work. Well, guess what? You and I are just like that. Our batteries run down, and we need to be recharged. And yet, sometimes we try to run on empty. And it affects us. It burns us out. Every 7 days, you need to get physically, emotionally, and spiritually recharged because your batteries run down. It's the antidote to burnout. It's the prevention against this stress-filled world that we live in. And so God says, every 7 days, I want you to do this. Well, when is it? There's always that question. Well, when's the Sabbath? Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Is it Friday? The answer is that it is one day a week. Now, I don't think the Lord is so concerned with the day as long as you do it once a week. It's the principle that's important. We practice the principle. Just as a side note, the Muslims, in the Muslim faith, practice the Sabbath on Friday. The Jewish people practice the Sabbath on Saturday along with some Christians, such as Seventh-day Adventists and so on. They practice it on Saturday. Most Christians celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday. But understand, the New Testament does not command us to worship on any particular day, and it doesn't command that Sunday must be the Sabbath. Oh, no. Well, then why are we here today, on Sunday? Well, because in the New Testament, when the church was birthed, the first Christians, who, by the way, were Jews, right? They took the Saturday Sabbath, which was the day that they had used to use for the Sabbath, for the practice and celebration of the Sabbath. They took that and began to worship, rather, on Sunday in honor of Jesus' resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, Paul talks about the fact that on the first day of the week, when you come together, and so early on, the Jewish believers began to meet on Sunday instead. Then it's interesting, in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10, John calls Sunday, the first day of the week, he calls it the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. Sunday had become, there had become a special significance to Sunday. It had become designated as the Lord's Day because Christians began to practice Sabbath on Sunday. And so it became custom, because Jesus rose on Sunday, to celebrate the day of worship, the Sabbath day, the day of rest on Sunday. Now, let's just clear this up and balance it out real good today. Paul says this in Romans 14, 5 through 6. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be convinced in his own mind. If you want to practice Sabbath on Saturday, God bless you. Go on down to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and they worship on Saturdays. That's fine. But don't look down on your brother if they choose not to. Now, if you want to worship the Lord on Sunday when most of us gather, we invite you to be here in our midst. If you want to celebrate Sabbath on Friday or Monday and be by yourself, by your lonesome, you can do that too. Most of us, out of a custom and a tradition, have worshipped on Sunday and Sunday morning. We're giving priority first thing to God. We worship the Lord on Sunday morning because it is the Lord's day. So really what he's saying is all days are God's day. You need to practice the principle. Don't get hung up on the day. Well, let's be even clearer. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. Bob King will read that for us.
Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ.
The Sabbath day, as a day set aside in a legalistic sense by the Pharisees, they missed it. It was meant to be a shadow pointing to Christ. In Christ, we worship and can worship all day, every moment. But the principle of the Sabbath is what we practice. It remains. Now, you can choose, and I can choose, to ignore His principle. And you know what? God's not going to be mad at you. He's not. But you'll probably be tired, and burned out, and frustrated, and cranky. Some of you are anyway. Just making sure you're awake here. I see a lot of people who need some Sabbath rest. Amen. But as a Christian under Christ's new covenant, we are no longer under the law as to what day it must be, but rather we celebrate the Sabbath generally on Sunday, but you can celebrate Sabbath, practice Sabbath on other days as well. You know, Sunday's a good day, but many of you have to work on Sundays. Many of you have jobs that require you to work on Sunday. Now, you know, it's unfortunate that our society is like that. And I would encourage, especially our young people who are looking at jobs, not to take a job that's going to require you to work on Sunday, or at least, you know, that will allow you to come and worship and practice Sabbath and practice the principles of Sabbath, at least on Sunday morning. You will be wise, and I'll show you in the Word here as we go on. But you know, if you have to work regularly on Sunday, pick another day. God says, pick one specific day a week to use for rest. Use it for rest, recreation, restoration, and worship. Recharge yourself. God wants you to do it. Let's talk about it. Well, number two, verse 12 says to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. What does that mean? How do I keep the Sabbath day holy? Well, do you think having a regular day off would do you some good? Do you think it'll do your marriage good? Do you think you do it your family good? Do you think taking regular time to rest and recreate, be refreshed and recharged, would help you, your marriage, your family? God says that it does. And he says, keep it holy. In other words, well, what does holy mean? The base meaning of the word holy means set apart. Right? The word to be set apart is what the word holy means. Now, when you bring it into the context of the way God uses it, he means to be set apart for God's purposes. Don't say, well, holy means to be set apart to be holy. That's redundant. No. You're set apart for God's purposes. In other words, to keep the Sabbath holy means you use the Sabbath for the way that God intended it. If you do it the way God intended it, for what he gave it to us for, then you're keeping it holy. God says, I want you to set one day a week apart to do something different than you do the other 6 days of the week. On the seventh day, you're to have a change of pace. That's what it means, to make that day unique, reserved, special. How do I keep the day holy? By using it the way God intended. How do I do that? God wants you to use the Sabbath, your day off, your day of rest, to rest, recharge, and refocus. Rest, recharge, and refocus. Well, as we read here just a few moments ago, this would be, I guess, letter A under 2. What is the main thing God says to use the day of the Sabbath for? What does he say? Rest! Rest physically. God says, I want you to be rested. Your body needs rest. It's so important that God gave us the example. He used himself as an example. When he created the world in Genesis chapter 1, it says he took 6 days and he created the world. And on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested from his work or labors of creating. Now, was God really tired? No. God doesn't get tired. But why did he do it? He's modeling something for us, an important principle of life. Every 7 days, take a day off and rest physically. I'm thankful that in this country, the Supreme Court has ruled that it's okay for businesses to have laws to be closed on Sundays, like Chick-fil-A. Let's hear it for Chick-fil-A. Booyah! I love Chick-fil-A. It's my favorite restaurant. Fast food restaurant. But hear this. Not only on religious grounds can you be closed on Sunday, but on human grounds. Just the fact that we are humans. You can take Sundays and close your business because it's built into our very fabric that humans need rest. Now, it's very unfortunate that most businesses choose not to do this. And therefore, their employees have to work. And that's what it's talking about here when it says, you know, don't work and therefore allow your manservant and your maidservant. If you translate that today, that would be your employees. Let them rest too. See, God's not only concerned for you, he's also concerned for those who work for you. If you're a business owner, you're an employer, he's concerned for your employees. Work them hard, 6 days a week. Seventh day, let them rest. Inc. magazine recently had a survey that said 62% of people that were surveyed said, I am burned out or I'm on the way. You can get so many irons in the fire that you can put out the fire. You need to take a day off and rest. You know, there's a lot of tempting things that can pull you towards your work. More money, more recognition, got to get the work done, more promotion, sense of fulfillment, achievement, accomplishment. It can all consume you. It can. And all the powerful forces around us in our culture say, work more. You can become addicted to your work. But our bodies were not built for nonstop work. Whatever you do for a living, you need to stop it one day a week and rest. Don't bring your briefcase home on that one day. Don't bring your laptop home on that one day. A lot of people say to me, oh, Pastor Tom, I sent you an email. Did you check it? And I'll say, if it's Sunday, no. I rarely look at my computer on Sundays. I might check real quick for news just to see what's happening. But I don't look at my emails. You know what? I look at email after email after email all week long. And sometimes I get... By the way, please don't forward me stuff. Many, 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 many of you forward me stuff. If I read that stuff that you forward me, I would never get anything done. I'd be in there all day long reading the stuff you forward me. Now, I'm just being nice. Okay, I'm saying it nicely. I don't have time to read all these forwarded things. I'd like to, but I don't have time. So anyway, emails. I don't look at my emails on Sunday. So if you send me something on Sunday, I'll probably get to it Tuesday. because I take Monday as a day off as well. Now, why do we do this? Because we often oppositely think we can get more done by keep on pushing, keep on driving. Actually, when we do that, we put a kink in the system and it throws us out of kilter. Listen to this. Efficiency experts now say they've discovered that reasonably spaced rest periods increase productivity over the person who works continually and constantly. Experts. I'm not talking about, Bible teachers or Christians saying this. These are secular experts on efficiency, work efficiency. There's an old Indian proverb that says, "You will break the bow if it is always bent." We need to unbend, or we will snap. And so the first principle, the first thing you do, is you rest your body on the Sabbath. Psalm 127, verses 1 through 2. Bruce Gordon is going to read that for us.
Where are you at? My Bible doesn't say that.
Psalm 127. Are we there? There we go. That's it.
Well, but mine says, unless the Lord builds a house.
There it is.
Where's that at? Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves.
What he's saying is, if you don't have the Lord's blessing in your work and what you're doing, it will amount to nothing. Because if you love the Lord and you follow His word and follow His ways, He will bless you with good rest and good sleep. But if you just drive on your own, push, you will not be blessed. Again, God's not angry at you. He's just letting you have the consequences of your action. We're not meant to be workhorses and be driven constantly. Even God says, let your animals, your ox, your horses, your mules, let them rest. Let them rest. So now as you look at the Scriptures, understand you have a biblical basis for a Sunday afternoon nap. Amen? You can take a nap on Sunday afternoon. I'm going to do it this afternoon. I'm going to practice Sabbath. Amen. Psalm 23, a psalm that we all know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's a beautiful idea, right? Beautiful thought. Has God ever had to make you lie down because you wouldn't do it on your own? I've discovered that workaholics that never take a day off, they never observe this fourth commandment, they end up observing it for 2 or 3 weeks in the hospital. It's called accumulated Sabbaths. I'm telling you, one of the main reasons for hospitalization today in our country is burnout and stress, and people just break. They lose it. Because we work, and we do not realize how much God wants us to relax and rest physically. Some of us say, well, again, as I said earlier, when we relax, I feel guilty. You don't need to feel guilty. Jesus relaxed, and He never felt guilty about it. He took a day off every week. You understand that? You realize that? Jesus practiced the Sabbath. Every Saturday, Jesus practiced the Sabbath. He rested from His work. He went to synagogue. He read God's Word. He listened. He learned. Then He taught. You don't need to feel guilty. Nobody accomplished more than He did in the 3.5 years of His public ministry. So God took a day off after creation, modeled it for us. Jesus practiced Sabbath. Who do you think you are? You think you can go against God's Word, go against God's model, go against His example, and you're going to be okay? You will not, sir. You will burn out. And an unwillingness to take a day off, to take Sabbath, is basically saying, I've got so much work to do, I'm so important, I'm holding up the world. Well, you know what? You can resign as general manager of the universe. It's not going to fall apart. And you know what? The work that you think is so important, I hate to tell you this, your manager will probably come by and say, why'd you do that? You know, be like scratching your head. Why did I, you know, kill myself to do this? You know, and just bear with me here for a moment. Reluctance to rest is a sign of immaturity and insecurity. Why do I say that? Well, look at your kids. Do your kids like to go to bed? Do they like to rest? Do they like to sleep? No. What? You know, you try to get them to bed, what do? They argue with you, they complain, they, oh, I need another drink of water, they think of another excuse, something else they need to do. You kids know what I'm talking about. Why do they? Because they're immature. They don't want to go to bed. They don't want to rest. But any wise parent knows if you don't get proper sleep, you're worthless the next day. So we force them to go to bed. Sometimes God has to force us, has to make us lie down in green pastures. Don't wait till He has to make you do it. Practice the Sabbath. But that's not all we do on the Sabbath, because we don't just get physically tired, we also get emotionally tired, our spirits get tired, and rest, physical rest alone is not enough. Rest will take care of the physical fatigue, but it will not take care of the emotional, spiritual fatigue. That's why there's two other things that we should do on the Sabbath other than just physically rest. So, B, under number two, God wants me to use the day to recharge my emotions. We need to use the day to recharge our emotions and our spirit, because works stress and life's stress drains us. Americans are always in a hurry. And we need regular doses of inspiration and encouragement to build us back up. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you just feel absolutely deflated. You're just not only wore out physically, you're wore out mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And it does affect us. When you're tired physically, it affects you spiritually and emotionally. Listen to this. During the French Revolution, they were trying to throw out all the old laws. One of the old laws was the Sunday day off. They said, oh, no. No more Sunday day off. Now every day will be a work day. So one of the laws they made in the French Revolution is Sunday was going to be a work day. Within months, the health of the French people collapsed. They had to rescind the law and establish, again, one day off, Sunday, one day off a week. Because their health collapsed. It didn't work. Well, how do we do this? How do we recharge our emotions? There's three things that you need to do and build into every Sunday, or if you use another day for Sabbath, whichever day. So, the first bullet point under B is this. Include time for quietness. Quietness. Just get quiet. The second part of verse 3 of Psalm 23. He leads me beside still or quiet waters. He restores my soul. Ah, isn't that beautiful? You ever just spend time with the Lord, just quiet, uninterrupted, and you just feel so restored and refreshed? When we come to worship here and we worship the Lord, our hearts are filled and we feel restored. But you know, you need more than just 5 or 10 minutes singing one or two songs. You need some quiet time. Quietness and soul restoration go together. We live in this world, especially in this culture today, of noise pollution. As I've gotten older, some of you think I'm probably getting weird, but when I was younger, I used to, I loved the loud music, and I'd go to concerts and bang my head against the podium, I'm getting older now. I don't like that anymore. I want quietness, peace, stillness. Kenny had a couple friends over Friday night. Man, I'll tell you what. Jumping around and making all kinds of noise. And I was like, I want quietness and peace. I guess I'm getting old and feeble. I don't know. But be still and know that I am God, says the Word. In quietness and rest is your salvation and your restoration. You need to schedule quiet periods in your life. And part of Sabbath means to have quiet time. Get alone with God and just get quiet. You don't have, did you know this? You have permission to not say anything when you get with God. Most of us, we get antsy. We feel like we need to start saying these and the thous, and we beseech thee, and that kind of stuff. You don't need to say that kind of stuff. Just be quiet. Just bask in His presence. Just allow Him to restore you. Now, He may not say anything to you. Just allow Him to restore your spirit. Many people use the whole weekend to relax and to recreate, but they never get any quiet time, and then they don't know why they're still stressed out when they get back to work Monday morning. You know, it's like those who go down to Ocean City for the weekend, right? You've seen it. You know, Friday night it's backed up down to 401, and then you get backed up on 404 rather. On Sunday night, what happens? 50 is backed up all the way to the bridge, all the way down to Graysonville. And, you know, do people get rested when they do that? They go down to the beach and they have activity for every moment of the day. And then they get behind the wheel and they're honking the horn and they're grabbing the wheel and shaking their fist at everybody. Why? Because Americans hate to wait. We're impatient. We don't want to wait in bumper-to-bumper traffic. I hate it. And we don't want to wait at red lights. We don't. We're always in a hurry. Interesting that, you know, we spend so much of our life waiting on red lights. Well, guess what? Once you die, you get to go through them all. Because, you see, when you're dead, you don't have to be on time. You can just do whatever. Up in heaven, there isn't any red lights. So you better be sure you're going to heaven. Just having a little fun, trying to make sure you all are still awake here with me. Well, Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Listen to this example of Jesus. There were so many people coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. Sounds like your workplace sometimes, right? Your work day. Jesus says to his disciples, come with me, come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. You see, Jesus knew there was so much going on in their lives. People were coming and going, pressing in on them. They wanted Jesus. They wanted to touch him. They wanted to be healed. They wanted to hear his teaching. And they didn't even get a chance to eat. And Jesus says, come away with me. Let's go to a quiet place. Let's rest. There's so much going on in our lives. We need to get alone. Get by ourselves. We need a time of quietness. You need to come apart. If you don't get apart, you will come apart. You will. You will bust at the seams. I read a book about a missionary, and then this missionary said that the safari guide that we're leading them says, tomorrow we're going to rest so our souls can catch up with our bodies. Do you ever feel like that? Feel like you're running. Man, where is my soul? It's like back there somewhere. I need to stop and let it catch up with me. And you do that with times of quietness. Not only physical rest, but times of quietness. Include time for family. That would be the next bullet point. Include time for family on the Sabbath. In American history, Sunday has historically been a good day for two things, church and family. I think that's a great idea. God wants you to spend special time with your family. Do something with them that draws your family together. Ecclesiastes 9:9. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love. A relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. You want to live a long time? You want to live a good full life? Relax. Chill out. Take quiet time. Have some fun with your family. Play some games. You're not wasting time. It's important. It's very important. God says you need to do it. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Are you cheerful? Are you happy? Do you laugh? Boy, laughter, cheerfulness is good medicine, it says. But if you've got a cranky, crunched up spirit, man, that just dries up your bones. We got some cranky Christians, man. We need to relax and chill out. Let God allow us to have some fun. Along with family, we need to take time for God's Word. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 6, that was the first sermon that I preached on the series, where it talks about not only obeying God's Word, but teaching our children, laying it into their hearts so that they too understand it and obey it. At Iron Lions Church, we're committed to strengthening marriages, strengthening lives, and strengthening families. That's one of the reasons that we don't have a Sunday night service. First of all, we would have, during the summer months, we would have to fight this traffic, and I think by the time you came in here, you'd probably have tomatoes ready to throw them at me. But the other thing about Sunday night service, why do we think that we have to duplicate what we did Sunday morning and do it again Sunday night? I've said this before. Most of you don't need another Bible study. You don't need another sermon. You need to practice some Sabbath, is today's message. You need to practice what God has for you. So you don't need another service. You know when the evening service started? They never had evening service except into the 1800s when it came into America and the circuit preachers began to have services. Well, when did they have the service? They had the service after the milking of the cows and taking care of the animals. So that was like the 10 or 11 o'clock hour. And then when the cows came back in and got milked in the evening, then they had Sunday night service. But the Sunday night service was mainly an evangelistic service. Somehow it transformed into having another service. We don't need to have another service. I know y'all are saying, thank goodness, another sermon I have to endure. But take time and enjoy the day. That's why we don't have it. Go home, men. Talk to your wife and play with your kids. Or play with your wife and talk to your kids. Tell them to do the dishes. And you and your wife play checkers or have something fun. I think parents ought to do that once in a while. They ought to have their kids do the cooking. They ought to have their kids do the cleaning once in a while. And we go and play. Amen. We're going to play this week when we're on vacation. Well, third bullet point. We're moving on here. Include time for fellowship. You need time with other believers. And I'm very grateful that you're here this morning. Somebody got tickled over there. It's my wife. She got tickled. She wants to play checkers. I know it. We need fellowship. Amen? I'm so glad you're here this morning. I'm also glad that there are many people that are out on vacation as well, taking time away, charging up with their recharging with their families. It's fine. But don't take vacation every weekend. You need time for fellowship. You need time with other believers. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another daily, and all the more as we see the day approaching. When we get together and we fellowship and we worship the Lord together, we encourage one another. Amen? You know, it's interesting because, you know, it's really tough being a Christian, being a believer out there in this world. You know, you get very little encouragement from the world out there. They're constantly beating you down. And we need to be lifting each other up and challenging and encouraging each other. You know, it's interesting, rarely a week goes by that someone doesn't say to me, you know, Pastor, I wasn't going to come to church today. I was tired. I didn't feel like I wanted to come, and I had so much to catch up on. I thought, I just don't have time to go to church. I'm not going today. But then I decided to come. And they'll say, man, I'm so glad I did. I was blessed today. Man, God really spoke to me today. He encouraged me. And have you ever felt that way? You just get rejuvenated. You get recharged. You're rebuilt by being around other people. And the Word challenges us and speaks right to what God wants to speak to you in your life. In the New Testament, Christians ate their meals together. They celebrated what was called the Love Feast. And they not only had the meal, but they actually celebrated communion right in the midst of that Love Feast. Christians ate with other Christians. Many of you grew up in churches where after Sunday service, you had family over for dinner. That's a lost art in our society today. I think it's greatly missing the fellowship, the interaction, the relationships. This is why we've done things here at the church like Dinners for Eight, and why we have care groups. And we encourage and challenge you to be a part of them. That's why we're having this fellowship Sunday today, if I ever get done. And we can go out and have this nice picnic together. And we're going to have the baptism. But I encourage you, use Sabbath, use Sundays, or whatever day you use for Sabbath for fellowship. Lastly, use the Sabbath to refocus my spirit. Tune into God. Sunday, the Sabbath for us that we practice most of the time, is a day that we refocus our spirits. The most important thing that we can do when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. Matt Dawson is going to read that for us.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout out loud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at the Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert.
That's good. Why did I have that read and look at that? When we come to church on Sunday, we have to be reminded that God is in control. We got to be reminded that He is the one whose hand is over the mountains and the seas and the affairs of men. We need, you know, because we go through life throughout the week, and man, it sure doesn't feel like it, and it sure doesn't look like it, does it? We look at what's happening in this crazy world. Sometimes you wonder, God, where are you? What are you doing? What are you allowing? We got to be reminded that regardless of what men do, God is in control, and we are the sheep of His pasture. We're under His care, under His hand. I don't know about you, but that gives me great security and great sense of belonging and identity. And yes, this crazy world is just hurtling towards destruction, but you know what? I'm His. We are His. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are under the care of His hand. And whatever comes, we know He's going to take care of us, and ultimately He's going to bring us to Himself. We need to be reminded of that every week. I know a couple of you have said this to me recently. You know, Pastor, I missed one week and then I missed another. And man, I really felt disconnected. I really felt like I just had been away for so long, and it just affected me spiritually. I understand. It's the same thing for me. And I'm just so glad when we come together and we rejoice. We need to have our spirit filled with God's presence and power and His love. And is aware, and the awareness that He is with us all the time, and He loves us. America, unfortunately, has turned Sunday into a fun day. You know, we've taken a holy day and turned it into a holiday. It's Miller time. Time to recreate. Most people don't worship God on Sunday. They worship the sun on Sunday. They go down to the beach for ceremonial baptisms. You know, they anoint themselves with suntan oil. And then they lay prostrate before the sun god. Now again, there's nothing wrong with going down to the beach. I'm going to do it this week. I'm not going to put any suntan oil on, but I'm going to enjoy. But, you know, I don't do that every weekend. You know, in place of my worship and my Sabbath and my rest, I don't do that in place of that. Problem is, you see, if all you ever do is work and play, pretty soon you think that that's all life is about, work and play. And there's a whole lot more to life than just work and play. God says Sabbath is important. It's essential for our lives. Refocusing my spirit. Worship is the most important aspect. Let me just, as I close, give a word to us as parents, fathers, mothers, but mostly fathers. Your faithfulness at worship is a good example. You don't only teach values to your kids, you model them. We talked about that weeks ago. You don't just teach those things that you know, you model what your life is like. And your kids catch things. They catch it. Every time you say, you know, we're not going to church this weekend, let's go up to the cabin, let's go down to the beach, let's go fishing, let's do this. You're modeling inconsistency to your family. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a vacation, there's nothing wrong with taking a weekend and doing that special, but if you're doing that regularly, and you're not worshiping the Lord, you're not practicing Sabbath, you're setting a bad example. You're modeling inconsistency. God says every 7 days, rest, recharge, refocus, and worship. Is my work, is my recreation, or is my Lord the most important thing in my life? You can say whatever you want to say with words, but what you model in your life speaks the loudest. When we buy a car, there's a maintenance book, and it says if you follow this maintenance book, schedule that it has, and you practice the maintenance on it, your car will last a long time. Well, the owner's manual for our lives is the Bible. And God says, if you will practice Sabbath, if you'll rest, you'll refocus, recharge, you're going to last a lot longer. Your life will last a lot longer. You do that and you'll be far more successful in your life. God will bless you because the Sabbath was made by Yahweh for us. Amen? God made it and gave it to you and me as a gift. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we remember the words of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy, my yoke is light." You will find rest for your souls. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the rest that we need. You've forgiven us, you have brought us into your pasture, made us your children. As we have embraced Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, you've made us yours. And now, Lord, you want us to enjoy that rest and practice it. Take advantage of it. I pray you will encourage each one of us. Challenge us, Lord, if we need it. And Lord, may we as a people rest so that we can serve you more effectively the other 6 days. Whatever we're doing in our work, our family, our lives, our marriages, we thank you, Lord. And Lord, if there are any here today that haven't given their lives to Jesus Christ, we ask, Lord, you will speak to them that offer of rest they will know is available to them. They will reach out and embrace Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this time. We look forward to our time together this afternoon as we enjoy fellowship together and as we celebrate with those who are going to be baptized. So, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. We praise you and we thank you. We love you, Lord. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. As we prepare to dismiss, if you need prayer for any reason, please come forward. There'll be some deaconesses and some of our elders to pray with you. God bless you all. We'll see you at the Morrisons in a little while.